But I'm excited about this brand new sermon series that we are doing and jumping into this week. And the series is called How to Neighbor. I love this idea because it's been a little while now that I've wanted to jump into this. I feel like it's the right time that the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, summertime is a good time to invite, to love on, to get some projects done around your house that you haven't been able to do. But more than just taking care of your house, we've got to take care of not just the Lord's house, but each other's house. And Scripture tells us to, and Jesus tells us to. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack a little bit more about how to love our neighbor. And I am really excited about this. We were brainstorming this past week. We got a whole dry erase board full of things, and it's going to be a great time. So tell your neighbor you're going to want to make it the next 3 weeks. You can go ahead and talk in church. It's all right. You're going to want to make it next 3 weeks. Here's our core scripture that we want to look at, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, 28 through 31 is the scripture we're going to stand on each week through this series. Now, the crowd quite oftentimes, in Jesus' time as he walked around, the crowd would oftentimes try to throw him some hard questions, try to trip him up a little bit, like, oh, he seems like such a wise man. He seems like such a smart one. I got one who's going to trip him up. I got one that he'll stumble over. And so in the middle of this scripture, in this passage, there is a moment where another wise man approaches Jesus, and he's saying, hey, while you're at it with all these difficult questions, let me shoot this one at you. What is the most important commandment? In other words, he's saying, you know, there's a lot of rules to keep in the first 5 books of the Bible. If you look at the Old Testament, that's a long book. It's longer than any other book I've read. What, if you had to summarize it, if you had to just break it down for me, I'm not the most learned man, right? I'm not the most schooled guy. Could you just break it down and make this whole long book really, really easy for me? What would you say? Now, he was saying it in a wise, cunning tone. But a lot of us can relate. I know when I gave my life to the Lord, when I said, I'm going to have a go for you, I remember getting the Bible and going, where in the world do I start? Things a long book. It's a big book. It's got a lot of things in there. And have you ever tried to read through Leviticus before and stay awake? Come on, some of you need an accountability partner to nudge you and like, you still with it, right? And it's just like saying all these tedious rules and all these regulations. And so I can relate, whether he was trying to be smart or not, I can relate with the question, what is the most important thing? Give me the Bible for dummies. Give me God's heart for dummies. And this is how Jesus responds. Many of you are familiar with this already. He says in verse 30, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second most important commandment says this, love others as much as you love yourself. No other commandment is more important than these two. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so this morning we're going to start How to Neighbor Part 1. And if you like titles, which I do, I've just entitled this one, Love Does. Love Does. And the reason for Love Does is because, I'll get into it, let's pray. God, I thank you so much that your love did. Your love had action behind it. Your love is life-changing. Jesus, you change everything. And I thank you for changing my life, and I thank you for your unending love for me, your unconditional love for every single one of us in here, that there's not a one of us too far gone under the sound of my voice. I thank you that your love looked past all my blemishes, looked past all of our sin, and yet came and for us to show us your unending love. Father, inspire us and encourage us by your love. Help it to become personal, so that we can take it and mirror it for others. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone agrees with that can say, amen. You ever been in a room where you kind of wonder, how did I end up here? I don't know if I belong. Maybe some of the people seem to know each other well, and I don't seem to have any great connections, not like they have with one another. Or maybe they're on another level from you, and you just feel like, how did I get invited here? How am I at this table? It wasn't but a few months ago, my wife and I received an invitation to a meeting with a whole bunch of pastors. And so we set up the babysitter. We made the long trip to where we were invited to, and immediately when we got there, the scale of the hospitality in the restaurant, the scale of the love that we were embraced with, the scale of the rich relationships we were seeing among the other people were there. They knew each other. They knew their kids' names. They knew what they were going through. They knew their marriage issues. They knew each other well. They were loving each other well, and I could remember just sitting back kind of going, wow, this is amazing. Like this love is on another level, and I'm inspired, but at the very same time, I'm feeling like, what am I doing here? I'm a bit of a fish out of water. We don't really know you as well. We thought we knew you, but then now that we're in this room and the way you know him and she knows her and all this stuff, we're just kind of lucky to be here. And then they seem to be on a whole nother level ministerially. Come on, if you've ever been in a place where occupationally they're just above you, or you just feel like, man, what am I doing here? And then one of our hosts started sharing how they got to be so tight. And really, he was sharing a testimony that he had gone through a tough time with his wife and his marriage. And in that place, all of a sudden he goes, and so that's why so-and-so, I invited him here. And he's here from Ohio because he came all the way from Ohio, jumped on a plane to be with us in our lowest point so that he could minister to me and my wife. And I'm like, wow. He got on a plane from Ohio, flew across the nation because he knew his friend was in trouble, like the relationship. I was like, man, I want to do that one day. And then he was like, and this other brother who's here today, I'm so glad that he's here. When we were going through that time, not only did my friend from Ohio come, but this other guy jumped into a plane from Houston, Texas, and he flew all the way up here so that he could check my kids out of school because our marriage was not doing so well, and he didn't want our kids to be led on to the fact that things aren't going so well. So he just came and took a flight all the way over here so that he could pick my kids up. And I'm like, that's radical love. That's costly love. That's like, you just came to drive to a high school, and so you got on a plane. And I thought, man, I'm inspired by this rich love. And I was like, man, I want to do that for somebody one day. And then, can I confess to you, I started thinking, how much did that cost? I don't know if I've got that kind of cash flow going. I don't know if I've ever given love that cost that much. And I have, in times, done extravagant love, and I have been moved to do really costly love, but I was inspired in that moment. I was also challenged in that moment. Love is willing to buy a plane ticket when I don't have it in the budget because I love my friend, and in this moment, love just does. It goes beyond rationale. It goes beyond this makes sense. It goes beyond it's in the numbers. It just goes above because love's there. And I love when I'm around people who inspire me there. I need you to understand that when you get to see that, when you've experienced that, then what you need to know is that is just a reflection of our great agape love of God our Father, who is willing to go there for you. He is willing to take more than just a plane ticket for you and I. He took a plane ticket from heaven to be putting on flesh and to deal with the same issues and temptations and health problems that we deal with. Yeah, he did it for us too. And so we got to be inspired that, it says that Proverbs 18:16 says this, a gift makes way for a giver. In other words, for today's purpose, a love doing gives ear for the giver's message. When you give love, when you express love to a neighbor, sometimes it's costly. Sometimes you wonder if they're going to get it, but this is as much as what you have done when you give love. You've bought the opportunity to hang out with them and tell them about the great love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gives me love and compels me to go further with my love, because I got a confession to make. Can I be transparent this morning? I oftentimes think about myself more than my neighbors. I think about me more than others, if I'm going to be transparent. Sometimes I'll get home at the end of the day and find out someone's in the hospital and I worked really hard that day and I'm a little bit tired, and I think about me just wanting to hang out with my family and me just wanting to have my rest. And so sometimes I'm not thinking about loving my neighbor in that moment and I'm just thinking about how tired I am. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts me to pay for someone else's meal out of my own allowance. My wife and I are like, hey, you can spend this money, no questions asked. It's one of the things we do in our marriage. And I remember sometimes God will say, come on, I want you to buy this meal. And I'm like, no problem. I'm just going to put it on the check card and I'll tell my wife later, you know, I felt called to do it. And she would be totally fine with that. Yet in the moment, the Holy Spirit will go, no, pull your own wallet out and pay with your own cash, because I want this to cost you and not to cost both of you. You know what I'm talking about? Like a personal challenge where like God's like, this is just you and me. I just want to know if you still do it. And I got to be honest with you. There's times where I'm like, no, I don't want to. They're like, I got the check. Okay. No problem. No. And I choose to say, you know what? I got to get past my love for myself. Have you ever had this? A socially awkward person needing a place to belong and you didn't want to invite them? You know, you're like, I don't know if there's space. We're just kind of laying low. And you're really just thinking about yourself more than you think about your neighbor. Don't just judge me. You know, you've thought about that. What if they say? What if they do? What if my friends ask? Come on. This is how pitiful I am. I've spent some money, our own money, to go on a missions trip. Went on the missions trip, and I thought, hey, man, that's good giving. And then at the end of the missions trip, some of the people on it are like, hey, you know, I felt moved. How many of y'all love it when somebody else in your group feels moved to do something? And they're like, I felt moved by God to just leave all my clothes here so that they can just give it to the less fortunate and those who need it here. And I'm just kind of thinking, I wanted to keep my clothes. What about the next missions trip? I don't want to have to buy again. And so I'm just kind of thinking. And so you do that Jesus thing. You're like, that's a good idea, my friend. I love that. Yeah, I'll give two. And then, you know, you go in the back and you rummage through your luggage and you take out half and you're just like, here, I gave mine too. You know, it happened in Acts as well. A few Christians wanted to make it appear like I'm loving my neighbors well. We sold our house. We're giving it all to the poor. And then they're like, no, you held some back. And so I'm just like, yeah, this is most of what I have. Most of what I have. You know, I think about myself more than I think about my neighbor. Anybody else, or is it just me? Just me in this place. And so I need Jesus. And I need him to speak to me. I need him to keep working on me. He's still at work on me. And this is one thing that he will constantly do in me, is that he will increase my love for my neighbor the closer I get to him. Scripture says this in Matthew chapter 24. It says, in the end times, as we approach the end, did you know there is a second coming of Jesus Christ? And there will be some signs to know we're getting close. This is what Jesus said. One of the ways you'll know we're getting close is because the love of many will grow cold. In other words, you and I are going to quit extending our capacity to love, and we'll unintentionally, without warning, pack it in. I'm just going to save this for me. I'm just going to save this for us. I'm just going to cling tighter to my close circle of friends. And I love what Andy Stanley said, and I want you to hold on to this. We've got to learn to do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. Because sometimes we'll say, you know what? If I do this for one, then I have the excuse that I can't do this for everyone. Come on. My mom spoiled me on that, right? You know, if I share my Doritos with you, I have to give everyone my Doritos. Doritos. Wasn't there a commercial about that? That thing was hilarious a few years back. Just a man and another man sitting at a table. And he's like, can I have one of your Doritos? And if he goes, if I give you one of my Doritos, I have to share my Doritos with everyone. And they look around, no one else is in the break room. And he's just like, I've got to pack it in, you know? I've got to hold on to what I've got, right? And sometimes we'll unintentionally pack it in and we'll hold on to what we got and we cling to it. And what that is, and I'm stepping on my own toes, and maybe if you're with me, then I'm stepping on yours too. But really what that is a lack of faith, because I got to cling to it in case there's not more where this came from. And God's constantly saying, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. What I give to you is not your own. It is stewarded by you, and so you are called to give it away extravagantly. Give away love, but sometimes it's so counterintuitive, and we've got to live counterintuitive. We got to decide, not on my watch is the love of many going to grow cold. And so I've got to grow closer and closer to God. This is a quote by Bob Goff in a book called Love Does. It's what inspired the title of the message today. It says, we don't like to put hands and feet on love. When love is a theory, it's safe, it's free of risk. But love in the brain changes nothing. And so we've got to put love in action. How many of you are thankful that God didn't love the world so much that only in theory he just said, man, I love them. But God loved the world so much that he, fill in the blank, he gave. Love's got to be put in action. Love's got to become giving. Love's got to become, I don't know if I'll receive anything out of it, so I'm just going to do it. Man, since I'm being transparent, I remember my neighbor at my last house, for whatever reason, that brother loved to ride his riding mower. And I think it's because things weren't so great at home in the marriage, and so he was just trying to get out of the house. And so I justified in my spiritual mind that I'm doing the man a favor by allowing them to have some rest from one another. And so I'm going to allow him to keep cutting my grass because I'm helping his marriage out. And I'll go out and talk to him afterward. I remember when God... But I'm not lazy when it comes to that. And so sometimes I'd compete to get out there and do it first because he was always coming over there and doing it. I remember one time I cut right along my line, right along the border. And I remember God just saying, just take it the whole way. Just finish his lot off too. And I was thinking, I don't have time today. I need to get back with the family. I need to get back with the kids. The kids need my love. And I don't know why sometimes we wrestle with the love of many growing cold. I think this is why Jesus says, you can't just love up. That's part of the greatest commandment. But you got to love across too. Click on that slide again. See, we are called, go back to the last slide. We are called to love up. And I think many of us in this room already intuitively know that. That my love my capacity to love has got to go up. Scripture calls our worship and our love like a sweet smelling incense. Sometimes I like just looking at smoke, especially in worship, because I like to see how it always rises and it produces a sweet smelling incense. Now, I'm not one of those incense guys that if you come to my house, you're going to see it going all the time. Not really there yet, right? I don't know if I'm going there yet. But sometimes when I see smoke and sometimes when I smell a pleasant aroma, I'm reminded that I'm called to love up. But Jesus was saying that we are also called to love across. Go to that next one. We're called to love across, which means our love is not supposed to just be contained on a vertical level, but we're supposed to reach out left and right. And this is one of the ways that we can please our Father in heaven. This is one of the ways that we can show our great love and appreciation to God is when we go to the next slide. When we love up and when we love across, you go, click it again. When we love up and we love across, it shows our love for the cross. Do you see that? Come on. If we just love up, all we got is a vertical pole. If we just love across, all we got is a horizontal pole. But it is interesting that when we do the great commandment, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love up. And when you love across, love your neighbor as yourself. When you do it, isn't it interesting that you form what is our clearest symbol of our love for Jesus Christ? Christ, and that is the image of the cross. And the cross is not complete unless we love up and we love a cross. It shows our love for the cross. And so sometimes we have to just have a conversation with ourselves and say, is both represented in my life right now? There was a time where Jesus, if you have your word, your Bible with you, go to John chapter 13. This is where I really wanted to spend the crux of the message, John chapter 13. There was a time that Jesus was approaching. He was on his last day. And so he decides that my teachings aren't complete until you understand something. And so let's open John chapter 13 as he's sitting with his disciples. They're all lounging. They're all kicking it. They've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, most scholars say. So they feel like at this point, I kind of know him. You ever been around somebody you've known for 3.5 years? You've done a lot with them. Sometimes you could just sit and chill without much thought, without much thinking. I just said that. Without much speaking. You know, you just kind of like laid back. And Jesus said this, it says, on that evening, verse 2, the meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, Jesus knew. That's a powerful two words right there. Jesus knew. What did Jesus know? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and he was going to return to God. He knew God's in control. He knew that our Father is good, that our Father has extravagant love. He knew all things are under his control, all things are under his power, that he knew the great love of the Father. What did he do with his knowing? The others didn't quite know it. They've heard a few of his teachings, they saw a few of his miracles, but they didn't understand it the way Jesus knew it. Have you ever had a revelation before on something you thought you knew, and then you found out more and you were like, aha, that aha moment, right? You thought you knew your friend until all of a sudden you heard a part of their past, and then you were like, oh my goodness, I didn't know. Now that things make sense, and wow, I have a greater appreciation for you, right? Jesus knew because he came from the Father. The others are kicking it, assuming they knew. I'm assuming I've got this thing down. I'm assuming I've got my master's degree, my bachelor's degree in all things God the Father. And so he knew this, but they didn't. And so if you're taking notes, write this down. What do you do with the knowing? You get up and you get going. What do you do with the knowing? You got to get up and get going. So look at what Jesus does. He knows something extravagant about the Father. And he says, I can't just sit on this knowledge. I can't just sit on this great love. I can't just sit on it. Our good friend Dan, I hope you're in that back corner. Dan is somebody, we've been texting back and forth, and he's shared with me what one of his friends wrote on Facebook, which was so interesting because he had no idea I was preaching on this passage this week. And so I love when the Holy Spirit orchestrates this stuff. And this is what his friend posted that Dan shared to me. Sometimes I joke about what I'd do if I had one day left to live. Would I eat junk? Would I go crazy, etc.? And he said this, but today it hit me. Jesus knew, and he washed feet. What would I do if I have one day left to live? What do you do with the knowing? You got to get up and get going. So it says this, Jesus, verse 4, so he got up from his meal. He took off the outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Terrence, would you come back up here again, my friend? See, we're about to give us all an opportunity to live this out this coming Saturday. We've talked a little bit about Serve Day, but there's a reason we do Serve Day is because we've got to take our knowing and get up and get going. There's a world out there. There's a city out there who needs the lifting of Jesus Christ. They need the extravagant love that God has poured in to you and me. And so we are called to do something with the knowing. We've got to start getting up and get going. And so this is what Jesus does with the knowing. He says, I know my Father's good. I know his great love for me. I know the love for every single one of them. How can I demonstrate this? This is how I can demonstrate this. I'm going to take off my Sunday's best. I'm going to take off my outer garment. I'm going to take off my Sunday clothes. I'm going to take off what looks good. I'm going to take off what looks professional. I'm going to wrap a towel around my waist. This is how you know I'm a true Cajun, when your parents think it's pretty to give you a crawfish on a towel. Come on, that's like one of those wedding gifts that you're like, oh, you shouldn't have. Really? Really? You shouldn't have. And so thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for this crawfish towel that I will proudly display only when I'm washing people's feet. And so let's put the crawfish in the bag. That's just way too much of a distraction. And so he gets down and he wraps a towel around himself, and he says, you think I'm a great man? You think I'm some sort of great prophet? You think I'm a great teacher? I haven't taught you anything if I haven't taught you this. Terrence, you've been such a blessing. Like a Simon Peter, you are behind the scenes and you do so much for the church. He creates all the videos that you guys see. He prepares so much. He gives up his time. He's sowed into this place. And I want to thank you. And one of the things that I can do is to just share my love for you. I want to wash your feet. Put one of your feet up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. Let's go ahead and take your socks off in front of everyone. I'm just joking. But it says this, that he just gets busy washing his feet, right? Washing his feet. And I know I didn't need to do this illustration today. I know we can all see it, but I needed you to see it. That what love does is it doesn't think about positions. It doesn't think about cash flows. It doesn't think about whether I should or I shouldn't. What will other people say about me? How will I be viewed? Do I have enough time for this? Jesus said, with my last day, I don't have time to not demonstrate this. I know the great love for God, so I need to show you the great love for God. These are fabric shoes, and I doubt I'm doing anything to polish them off. But thank you so much for coming up here. I love you, my friend. I love you, my friend. Come on, give it up for Terrence one more time. See, I wrote this down. Our serving doesn't wait until certain criteria is met or until understanding is complete. Our serving just gets busy right away. According to that scripture, I cannot tell you that he didn't wash Judas's feet. But he knew there was a scandal in play. He knew that there was betrayal at hand. What kind of extravagant love does God have that he doesn't just say, you know what, I know the filth in your heart, and so I'm not going to serve you. You stay in the corner. See, love doesn't ask, are you saved or not? Are you Christian or not? Are you able or not? Love doesn't ask these questions. Every single disciple was able to wash their own feet according to the customs they actually probably should have. But he doesn't ask, are you able? Then get up and do it for yourself. Love doesn't ask that question. The Holy Spirit says, pay for the meal. And you're thinking, well, they can pay for it themselves. They're better off than I am. Love doesn't ask that question. Love just says, yes, sir, you loved me with extravagant love. And so I'm going to pour out extravagant love. I'm going to love up and I'm going to love a cross because I am in love with your cross that you took for me. And so you died. You were a living sacrifice. And so the ugliness inside of me that I don't even like about myself, it's got to die. It's going to be sacrificed upon the cross right now. And part of it is me just humbling myself, getting on my knee, starting to break a sweat, starting to open the wallet, starting to love. And if it calls for it, get on a plane. And I don't... God, give me the strength to do it when the time comes, but I'll be thinking about pennies. I will. See, Peter, like many of us, think we don't need our feet washed but really it's our pride keeping us down. James 4:10 says this, if you will humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. Peter was in a position where he was like, you're not going to wash my feet. I should be washing your feet. And Jesus said this, let me love you because you need it. Let me pour out my love on you. And so sometimes we need to just be given away the great love of God because it does something in us and it does something for others. The scripture finishes with verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. Everyone say example. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. We want to be known at Lift Church for being the type of people who love extravagantly. That the city knows if we need some help, if we need an area of a pick-me-up, we know where we can turn for people who will love, who will give, who will stand side by side and lift up some people's lives even before they accept Jesus Christ, even before they get everything right with Christianity or anything else. We don't ask that question. And so I'm so excited about how can we apply this, right? What can we do in applying this? There are three things that we can do to kickstart our love. We are going to participate in Serve Day this coming Saturday. This is our opportunity to go out and show the great love for God. What I love about this opportunity is it's not about Lift Church. It's about the global church. If you would, put up that first picture of the map up there. I know we showed it last week, but this is my favorite part of Serve Day, is that we're going to go out this coming Saturday, and we're not going out alone. We're going to be a part of the capital C, more important church that's out there, the global church, the church Jesus died for, and we are just one blip on the map that we're going to together unite our arms and just give away our time, give away our sweat, give away our attention, give away our love, because all over the globe, we're going to see the love of God just expressed together. Click the next one. Here's what it looks like in America alone, that in the United States on one day is going to be hit with extravagant love. Why? Because Jesus extravagantly loved us first. And so go to the next slide. This is what we're going to do right here on the Eastern Shore. We need more blips on the map, right? We need more red dots on the map. We're believing that one day Lyft can be a part of putting more red dots on that map. But here's what we're going to do. There's another church in Salisbury called The Well. I need to get to know their leadership, but this is what I like. They're on the map too. There's a church called Discover Church in Georgetown that actually believed and prayed with us and sowed into us. They're going to be serving on that day as well. United up in Dover, our friends in Glen Burnie, the Mix Up in Baltimore, our friends at Household of Faith in Louisiana, all over the globe, together on Serve Day, Christians are going to go out and show the love of Jesus Christ together. And it's not about Lift Church, it's about the capital C Church, because God loves you and he wants you to know about it. That's what Serve Day is all about. And so I wore my Serve Day shirt. This is the hashtag LiftSBY, because our heartbeat is to lift up people in Salisbury, because God's already doing the lifting, and we just want to be part of his ambassadors, part of his extended hands. Let me be your hands, let me be your feet. Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, and then what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes it starts with a good deed. Sometimes it starts with an act of love. It doesn't always have to start on a Sunday morning. It doesn't always have to start with an invite and what I want you to do for me or what I want you to do for yourself. Sometimes it starts with a gift making way for the giver saying, I want to do this for you. And so we're going out with teams all over Salisbury, and we're encouraging you right now, go ahead and put that first one up. The first thing you could do to kickstart your love doing, here's three practical things you can do. First things first is to sign up to serve with us. Maybe you were holding out and you're saying, that wasn't for me. I love that you're always here on Sunday giving your love for God, and I know many of you probably already do this, but what I'm asking is that you join with us and that you would serve with us. We have six different projects that are going out, and we still need people to sign up. If you open your camera and you point at this right here, it will take you to an app called the Serve Day app. And we're asking if you would to download it right now. If this doesn't work, then go to your app store and search Serve Day. And when you click it, it's going to ask you which church are you serving with. And if you click Live Church, and then you'll see the six different projects we're going out to do. We're going to clean up a house that needs help, a widow in our church. We're going to help her out. We're going to serve Salisbury Christian School and revamping some things. Halo, we're not only painting some of their facilities, but we're having a Halo dinner experience later that night. And you know what I like about that one? JT's leading that one, and he wrote this: we want to give them a Ruth Chris experience at Halo that night. So if you want to, come on, get your serve towel on over there at Halo. Let's make it fancy. We're going to be going over to the Hansen family, whose yard needs to be cleaned up, and we're going to do an ice cream serve. Why? Because when you love, it opens the door to the love of Jesus Christ. I've been so inspired by testimonies that I've seen about churches that just go out and love on people. I ran out of time. I wanted to show you this one video, but I talked too long. That's a common problem of mine. And this family opened up their doors to Jesus because a termite guy who was part of a church got called to fix his termite problem. And instead of being the termite guy, when he got there, he saw the condition of their house. He knew that they were handicapped and could not fix it. And so he said, my father-in-law has the gift of craftsmanship. We from the church, can we come start fixing things? And they said, we were overwhelmed by the problems with the house. But once the termite guy went beyond his job and loved extravagantly, they flipped that house upside down. And you know what that couple's doing today? They're joining those families, not only with their church, but they're going out and serving other people now. Now too. And that's what the love of Jesus can do for other people's life. But it starts with love. And so if you want to serve with us, sign up. Grab this app. Say you'll be a part of it. We've got like another 40 needs in there in the app, and maybe you could be a part of that. I'd love to mobilize everybody, and we do it together as the band comes up here. And here's the second thing you could do. Follow along on the free 10-day How to Neighbor Bible reading plan. We didn't create this sermon series at Lift Church. It was something that was created at Life Church. This is an original message. I do write the sermon. But they created the artwork and the fancy video. And what I like about it is they even have a 10-day devotional. So if you have the Bible app on your smart device, then just search for the plan, How to Neighbor. Or if you go online, you just go to Bible.com and you can read this 10-day devotional that will challenge your love capacity. And then number three, here's some books that I recommend. I love reading books like this because they challenge my capacity to love. Some of us are naturally really good at doing this, and others of us need a kick in the butt every once in a while. And that's what I need, a kick in the butt every once in a while. And so Peppermint Filled Pinatas is an older book that I recommend. It's harder to come by, but Love Does is a brand new one. My wife and I bought this because we wanted to give this away to somebody in here because I'm kickstarting the love capacity. Is there anybody in here who says, I will read this book? Come on. There you go, my friend. Love Does. And you know what's awesome about that? We just started a resource table at Lyft, and here's our heart behind it. None of it is going to profit Lyft whatsoever. This is not about merchandise or resources so that money can be made. Everything out there is already yours, right? We together, we're giving. So there's nothing that's being charged for except the cost to get it here. And we pre-ordered five of those books so that we have them right here in our lobby. So if the Holy Spirit's telling you, you need to read that book before you leave, stop by that table and get that book. It's the same cost as you'll find it on Amazon, as well as two other books that we recommend if you just want to expand your walk with Christ. We also had some people asking for some Lyft gear, so there's actually some hats and stuff out there. If you want to check it out, we'll have that out there, but I promise you we're not making a penny from that table, okay? But if you are into that and you're like, hey, I wanted that because I wanted to invite my friends or show the love of Jesus through support and lift, go for it, all right? But here's what we're going to do. I want to pray over everybody right now. Father, our love is because you loved us first. I'm challenged by your love because it's got no borders, it's got no boundaries. There are times where I ask myself, when will your love stop? When can I stop? And you just kept going. All throughout Scripture, I see that you just kept going. You violated social expectations and all kinds of boundaries we put on ourselves. And Father, I pray in this place that together, individually and collectively, that you will expand our love capacity. Motivate us. Give us that kick we need to love others because you loved us first. Help us put it into action and move beyond mere theory, God. Move us beyond convenience and move us into a place where we get to hear the testimonies of people who begin to say, because of the love of that person right there, I gave my love to Jesus Christ and I'm going to go out into the world and love on others. God, that is what a beautiful reward to just partner with your love. But it's because you loved us first. I pray for the love that you have to expand in this place. In the mighty name of